Have your Bibles tonight and invite open them with me in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. My introduction is going to be kind of like Brother Houston said that the doctor that kind of compared the doctor's appointment with the preacher's conclusion of a sermon. He didn't really know when it was. And as I say, usually when you hear the preacher say conclusion, you start looking at your watch because you know it's pretty well going to be over. Well, introduction is supposed to be kind of short and get into the message, but I want you to look at my introduction tonight because we're going to lead into the question that's asked in Matthew chapter 16, but we're going to look at other questions that Jesus asked in his ministry as we get into probably one of the greatest questions of the ages tonight. We're going to deal with the question of our conviction tonight. But there are the questions that as we study the scriptures that Jesus did ask his disciples. Yea, they can apply to us as well. Look in the book of John 13 tonight, and you might want to jot these down by Matthew 16. But look at John 13, verse 38. We find that Jesus asked his disciples this question, a simple little question that he asked them in John 13 and 38 when he said, "Will you lay down your life for me? Will you lay down your life for me?" Keep in mind that he was talking to those apostles. And literally those apostles were called on to do what? To lay down their life for Christ and the gospel's sake. Great persecution was on the early church. I remember Peter one time made the statement, "Lord, I'll lay down my life for thee." But you know, at that time, Peter really wasn't ready to lay down his life physically for Christ's sake. But you remember that later on in Peter's life that he was ready. That yea, he laid down his life physically for Christ and the gospel's sake. During the dark ages of the church, the followers of Christ were called on to lay down their life physically for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, history may repeat itself. We do not know. I know that in one of the recent mass shootings that they had, one of the shooter implied that they were going to meet their God, asking maybe each one were they a Christian or what faith there was. But I realize today that we do need living sacrifices that present our bodies unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't know. At any time, we live in a society that's become so anti-Christ, anti-Christian, that we don't know. We too may be asked the question, "Will you lay down your life for my sake and the gospel's sake?" Lord, help us be of the courage of faith that we can say, "Yea, Lord, I will." But there is a question to me of commitment. Just how committed to the Lord Jesus Christ really are we? Now, folk, that takes real commitment. And don't get mad at me tonight when I make this statement. It's going to take more commitment than just as a Sunday morning going Christian to make that kind of commitment to lay down their life, physical life, for Christ and the gospel's sake. It's going to take more than that. It'll take a full-pledged commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I found another question. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Here's another question in verse 12 that Jesus asked his disciples. He asked them this statement, "Who do you think the Christ? What do you think of Christ, whose son is he?" And really that speaks to our conscience tonight. Whose son is he? I understand in the early days of church history, in A.D., I think it was 325, there was a meeting in, of Alexandria, of Antius and Alexandria, and they were preaching the statement that Jesus was not the eternal Son of God, that he was not co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. And therefore they had this meeting. Came out of this meeting that the fathers decided and concluded that Jesus was co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 2 verse 6, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." We know tonight and we believe that Jesus is co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father. But that's a question to each of our consciences that the Lord probes to us as we're asked, what think you of Christ, whose son is he? Then turn to another question tonight in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I want you to find the question in verse 40 of John chapter 11. This is a question that I have entitled the question of our conversion. When Jesus made the statement to the disciples, did not I say, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And again, that was a period perhaps the Reformation fathers that they faced, as men such as Martin Luther, Calvin, Knox, and others took the book of Romans. And from their study of the book of Romans, they concluded that a person is completely justified by faith in God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When we are saved, we become justified. Ultimately, we will become glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the ultimate purpose of God? That every child of His be conformed to the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, in our redemption, when all is said and done, we shall be conformed to the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, conversion is a reality. And then if you'll turn to Luke chapter 18, our Lord asks another question. And I've kindly entitled it, Question of Our Commission. Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will He find or shall He find faith on the earth? Now, there were people in the early days of the church, and yea, the days of the missionary, Livingston, the Whitfields, and those of our forefathers. They took that message literally. They left their homes. They left the comfortableness of what they had. And yea, they went into the world and they preached the gospel. And it was a time of a great missionary movement in the world. Obedient unto what Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That word is to us too. When I come, shall I find people? Shall I find people doing what I have commanded them to do? That's a question of the Lord's church. When I come, will you be busy in what I commanded you to be and to do? Oftentimes I find that we might find ourselves scattered and carried about with other things that we have determined more important than carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's a question to us tonight as well. Then turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And here is another question that Jesus asked His disciples. He is talking about He is the bread of life. Remember, He has said that He is the bread of life that came down from heaven. Those Jews could not understand that. They thought He was being, as we might say, disrespectful. And yea, He was even committing blasphemy by saying those words. And many of them said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear what you're saying? Jesus looked and He turned to those disciples and He said unto them, will you also go away? And you know the words that Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Those words spoke to people who were turning from Jesus and turning from their faith. The book of Jude tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And as we look, our consistency. What we are today, Lord help us, be that what we're going to be tomorrow. Now, I have said and I'll say it again. I thank God and first and foremost, and I pray that I'll be a Christian. Amen. That I'll be a Christian. But you know, by listening to what I say and what I believe, that I am a Baptist. And I am a Baptist by choice tonight, and I'm a Baptist by conviction tonight. And when I find something better that I believe teaches the Bible more closer, I would go. But I haven't found it yet in our world as I've searched the Scriptures. And tonight, God help us contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We're seeing so many, and so many churches that are leaving that faith today. Will you also go away? You know, someone once said one time, and it is so true, and made this statement. It is like a pastor that faithfully fed his flock. And it said there was members of that flock who turned away and went and put their feet under someone else's table. And it just broke his heart. I asked many times, you know, what about the Lord's heart? What about the Lord's heart? Is his heart often broken by people leaving and going to apostasy? Then the question that I want to deal with tonight, Matthew 16 and verse 15. But we want to go to verse 13 tonight of Matthew 16. The question of the ages, literally the question of our conviction. Jesus said as they came in just close to Caesarea Philippi, and you know that Caesarea was a town that they had built in honor of Caesar, and there that they later named it Caesarea Philippi. And we're told that he brought his disciples away from all the crowds, and he brought them to this place. Really, it's at the head of the Jordan River. And we find that he asked a question. He asked this question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, that question will be the first point we'll deal with tonight, but that is the question of public consensus. Notice in this next reply of what they said to Jesus. They say it. Some say, and you can underline the word some. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Others say that you're Jeremiah's. Or, now note, one of the prophets. Now, that was the consensus of the public as they had listened and seen the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in that answer, it really was telling people what they wanted to hear. Exactly. What they wanted to hear, not what they needed. Are we still in a day today when people, they want to hear what they want to hear, not what they want and they really need in their lives? And therefore we find public consensus, telling people what they want to hear going in that direction. But now go down to the next statement that Jesus makes to these disciples. Now he said unto them, "Now who do you say that I am? Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, or said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There was the answer of a personal conviction. Not from the wind of the way politically time was going. Not by what the public was saying. But it was an answer that I understand was revealed according to Scripture by only the Father in heaven could have revealed it to the Apostle Peter. And it was born out of a personal conviction that Peter had in his life concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go back and I want to look at verse 13 and 14. And I want us to look at the answer or the question of public consensus. Who do men say that I am? Now, as you look at the answers, no doubt that Jesus must have preached somewhat like John the Baptist. No doubt he must have had the passion that Elijah had. No doubt they had seen his emotion that he had shed tears. And no doubt that they could say, "Well, you're likened to Jeremiah." But they then just put him in a classification and said, "Well, you're just one of the prophets. You're not the prophet, but you're one of the prophets." And as you look there and as you study there, what were they saying? "We're not going to go as far to say that you're God." And therefore they were rejecting his deity,
rejecting who Jesus was. Remember when Jesus came and he was talking to Nicodemus? Remember what Nicodemus said that they said about Jesus? Rabbi, we note that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these things which you do except God be with you. There again, note the Jews were not really willing to believe that he was the Christ, and they were not willing to believe that he was deity, that he was God. He was no more to them than just Joseph's son. We sang a song and was in the choir tonight as singing the Son for Christmas program, Whose Son Is He? And as it, there was a place in that, and there was that place for Joseph, the earthly father of our Lord. And we know that Jesus bore the name of Joseph, the carpenter's son. But we also realize tonight that Jesus was God's Son, His only begotten Son. And that in the life of Jesus, He possessed and He was deity. He was God Himself. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You've heard these quoted many times. In the beginning was the Word was with God. That Word was God. And then it says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, deity, as again in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, incarnate in the flesh, God. We believe and we hold to that tonight. I believe that, not from public opinion. I believe that that's come through a deep-rooted study of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has born in my heart tonight. And I believe that with all my heart tonight. In the early church, what was the theme that that church preached? It was the deity, that Jesus was the Christ, that He was the Son of God. I look back and I think of what Paul said, that he declared plainly that Jesus was the Son of God. I look back at what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip. I believe that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe it with all my heart. I look what the early writer said that says this. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. What are they saying? They're saying, listen, He's more than just an earthly man. They're saying He is deity. He is the eternal Son of God, co-equal with God. That brings me to public consensus. And here's what I want you to note. And it's this thought of pluralism. Pluralism. You say, Brother Danny, that's a big word. Are you sure you know what it is? Well, I had to kind of break it down to see if I know what it is. And it simply means this to an old country preacher like me. They say this. Well, Jesus is only one of many ways for a person to go to heaven. Pluralism. Jesus is only one of many ways that a person can go to heaven. Folk, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way that man can go to heaven. And a person tonight, when they refuse to accept Jesus as the only way, they're doing what? They're taking public consensus and they're turning to pluralism. And in order to be politically correct, they're going with the way of the world tonight. They're kind of like our modern day politicians. They go out and they wet their finger. And they put it up with what crowd they're in and what crowd they're particularly in and what that crowd believes, that's what they're going to talk like and be like. We do not form our convictions based on public consensus and as we find the way the wind is blowing. We form it by study of the Word of God, letting the Spirit lead us into a deep conviction of the Word of God. And as we look tonight, we find that this public opinion, who people say that Jesus was, they refute His deity, saying that He is not God. We're coming up on the Christmas season. What does the Christmas season mean to me? It means that God gave us a Savior, but it means that God sent His Son, and that Son is the eternal Son of God. And yes, He is God incarnate in human flesh tonight. I put Him co-equal, co-eternal with God, with all the power that God has, the Son has. You say, Brother Danny, can you explain it? No, but I turn the lights on, and I believe it tonight. Not every detail can I explain to you that, but I believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what else public consensus when they say it. Some say you're John the Baptist, some Jeremiah or Elias or one of the prophets. I'll tell you what else it rejected. It rejected the deed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what am I saying? It rejected the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, again, pluralism states? He is just one of many ways to go to heaven. Now, folk, you begin to listen. This world says, listen, affiliate yourself with religion and you go to heaven. Now, listen, religion does not save us. Religion, someone has described man's efforts to go to heaven to get in touch with God. That's religion. We're not saved by religion. We're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. My, tonight, the question comes, is the gospel exclusive? I want to ask that question again, and I want it to sink into your hearts. Is the gospel exclusive? Yes, it is exclusive. The gospel excludes any other way to go to heaven except by the Lord Jesus Christ. It excludes any other way to go to heaven except by the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. My, tonight, there was a book written, and the book was entitled 10 Things I Learned Wrong from a Conservative Church. And you'll know that it was written by a liberal author. But listen at this third wrong, which he claimed he learned wrong in a conservative church. And this was the third wrong. Jesus is the only way to God. Thank God someone stood up and told him the truth that Jesus is the only way to God. No man cometh unto the Father. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Now what brings me to this thought? When I look today, the question that's facing the church, the question that's facing this church, who do men say that I am? Are we going to reach out to public consensus? Are we going to reach out to this culture and try to find an answer to answer that question? Are we going to dig deep in the Word of God, study the Word of God, base our answer on what God says, and answer and say, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to salvation. My, when I hear statements from a Baptist preacher who supposedly believes in the gospel, make the statement, theology does not matter. I say to him, he's headed for pluralism. He's headed for statements that, listen, any way is good to God. But there's only one way. And folk, listen, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's asking. He asks them, who do people say? You're out in the crowd. You're out in the world. You're out in all these people. Who do these people say that I, the Son of Man, am? But now look at the question of the ages. Look what he says to those disciples. Who do you say that I am? To me, he gets right up in Danny Stanford's face. And he says, who do you say that I am? What is my answer? What is my answer? Is it going to be based on the public consensus, or will it be based on political correctness? Or once again, is it based on a personal conviction? You know, tonight, aren't you glad you know who saved you? Aren't you glad you know who saved you? And when someone asks who saved you or what was you saved by, I can say to them, Jesus saved me and I was saved by the grace of God. Saved by Him. Let me give you some scriptures. Turn to Acts 4. You know what it says in verse 12. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among heaven, among men, whereby you must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. Folks, salvation's not in John the Baptist. Salvation is not in Martin Luther. Salvation is not in one of the prophets. Salvation is not in one of the church fathers. Salvation is in and totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him, and Him alone. Now, Brother Danny, how do you say that? I say that because God has rooted in my heart through what? Not only has He revealed it to me through His Spirit, but He's revealed it to me through His Word and a study of the Word of God. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And listen to what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did not Jesus urge His disciples to do the same thing that Paul admonishes these Timothy to do? Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. My, that deep conviction that Peter spoke of, Lord, You're the whole Christos. You're the Christ. He was saying, Lord, there's not another. You're the only one. You're the only one. You're the Christ. And my, when I think of that, I think of the words of Paul when he says, woe is me if I preach any other gospel. Any other gospel. Woe is me. That's why I say again, yes, I believe in the exclusiveness of the gospel. That Jesus is the only way that a person can be saved. Folks, listen, as we've often said and you've often heard, and it does well first to hear it again, and it'll do well for you to hear it again. And that time saying, it's Jesus plus nothing. You don't add anything to Him. You don't take anything from Him. I'm thankful tonight that Jesus is who saved me. He's who holding me. And folk, He's the one that's going to present us one day before the Father with His exceeding glory. My, how? Is it because, Brother Danny, that's the way your mother and daddy taught you? No. If I believe like that, I would say, mother and daddy taught me to say that. But folk, it comes from something deeper than that. Brother Danny, is that because you got the Baptist Way book down and you looked in the Baptist Way book and Brother Danny, you studied that? And Brother Danny, that's what brought you to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ. He's the only Christ and there is no other way. Let me tell you, no. I didn't get it from there. You say, well, where in the world did you get it? I got it from that personal conviction as I was confronted, and as I said this morning, confronted with my sin, but thank God, confronted with the gospel and asking the Lord forgiveness, and that forgiveness is in what He does. And folk, listen, God has brought about a deep conviction in my heart that listen, Jesus is the Christ. He is the only Christ, and we're only to look to Him tonight. And that must be our answer. That must be our answer. You see, in the world tonight, the world is groping. It is. It is groping with many questions about it today. But the greatest question, the greatest question was the question that Jesus put to these disciples. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Is not that kindly what the Bible tells us? That who was it, Pilate, when he brought Jesus before those Jews and he asked them, what shall I do with Christ? What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? You say, Brother Dan, what was he? The personness of that question. You know, we can be in a room of 20 people, but isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit can single us out and speak to us individually and ask us that question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, listen tonight. The answer, Lord, have it be born in our hearts. Have it be framed in our hearts that we are able to say the same with Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, listen tonight. A question. A personness. I can't answer that question for you. You can't answer that question for me. Peter could not answer that question in reality for those other disciples. Peter was answering that question in reply to himself as the answer the Lord asked them and asked him. So tonight, the question comes down, and it's still a question for the church tonight. Who do you say the Son of Man am? And I pray and I believe with all my heart that it's born in the conviction of Burnout Baptist Church that she can say to the world, Thou art the Christ, the only way for a person to be saved is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, in my early ministry, some advice was given me, and I've been given a lot of advice. A lot of it I hadn't paid attention to it. A lot of it I should have paid attention to. But in my early ministry, there was a preacher that got me and sat me down, and he said this: you study the Bible, you study, and you ask the Lord, and you form convictions in your own heart of what you believe, and you stand on them, and stand on them. And having done all, stand. And today, folk, that's one of the convictions we stand on. Amen. That's one of the articles that we stand on of who Jesus is, the eternal Son of God, the Christ. I pray that you've answered positively in your life, because it will come for every man to decide for himself who Jesus is and who we say that he is. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you tonight, Lord, for the personal response of Peter that you revealed to him. But Lord, not only to him, but there have been men, women, even boys and girls who've taken the same conviction that the Apostle Peter took by the burning desire that's placed in their heart by the Holy Spirit, and that you live in their hearts that can say without a shadow of a doubt, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and experience a personal salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight, continue to be with this church. And Lord, I do pray for those that are sick. And Lord, Brother Gary's dad be having surgery, Sister Louise. And Lord, we have many in our church that are elderly, that are shut in. And Lord, we remember them each day in our prayer, but we pray especially for them, that you would just give them encouragement. And Lord, those that are downtrodden, those that are dealing with situations in their life, may they just look to you and, Lord, look to your word.
And Father, just thank you again for the salvation that we enjoy in Christ. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.